You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
And now, from the University of Illinois, playing your asset protection specialist, Mr. Tom Handler. Bring it on, Tommy. Thank you, Wanda, for helping us out.
You know, it's not good to make me laugh before I'm supposed to talk.
I hope you play that for your friends, you know. You should hear what the guy in Miami does. You should play this. You know, you can play it for them. They'll crack up, I'm sure.
They will. And I'm sure my mom's listening right now, so it's all good.
So listen, we were going into what the estate tax. I could be a Republican and call it the death tax for a second. And I also wanted to talk about the S-Corp because most of the small businessmen, they operate in an S-Corp format. So Tom, softball, hit it out of the park, bro.
Well, the provision that you relate to is this 20% deduction for certain pass-through entities. So these are mostly medium and small businesses, though there are some very large companies set up this way. So it includes LLCs, which are limited liability companies, partnerships, general partnerships, limited liability partnerships, sole proprietorships, and S corporations. So any of those entities owned by individuals or trusts have the opportunity for this 20% deduction. There are a list of businesses that don't qualify, mostly service businesses. So things like law firms and accounting firms, we can't get that deduction, so we're not going to get our income limited. But the opportunity for businesses is very significant. So, and I should say, of the service professionals, the only ones that got exempted were the engineers. So I'm guessing the engineers made a massive campaign contribution to somebody because there's just no reason or justification for them being excluded. But, you know, God bless them. How are they?
Infrastructure.
Yeah. It was, well, yeah, we need infrastructure badly, and apparently they need much bigger houses. But in any event, now without being too cynical, I don't get it, but it is what it is. But this is a big benefit. It should free up capital, again, hopefully for expansion, better pensions, more benefits, business growth, new businesses. And there's really a couple of opportunities to put yourself in this position. Either you're going to be combining certain businesses to generate the types of income that qualify. You're going to be spinning out certain businesses that might not qualify to put them in a position where they may. So the business planning exercise here, and I would say the business owners need to drive this. You know, a lot of accountants and attorneys aren't quite there yet, but you want to get on this bandwagon sooner rather than later and really do an analysis, do some what-if scenarios to determine what you could do to benefit from this in part or in whole. If you're already, you know, right down the middle, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to qualify and life is good. But if you're not, you know, what would you need to do to qualify? Is it worth it? Does it make sense? And that's really the exercise that people are going to be going through over the course of the year. But this really cuts down the effective tax rate for these businesses and individuals or their trusts. So it's a game changer, and people should start working on these matters if they haven't already started to do so.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to drive all my income through my radio show then.
I'm not here to give legal advice.
We're friendly guys here. Just having a friendly kibitz over the air.
It's an educational conversation.
That's all. I'd love to get you down here one time and put some of our best people, our best clients and customers in front of you. We're going to have to work on that. Maybe have you come down to a round table before it gets too warm and before it gets warm up there too. Now, what was about you were talking a little bit about the inheritance tax, which, you know, a lot of people are worried about from a social engineering standpoint, but we're only talking about it from a business standpoint today.
Yeah, I think what's happened here is that a tremendous number of people that would have had to pay tax just got taken off the rolls. And I don't think that's an unfair thing in that they've already paid tax on this income. This is money that they've earned or gotten some other way. They paid income tax, they paid sales tax, they paid real estate tax, property tax, franchise tax. They've already been taxed on it, and this is the government's effort to tax it again. So besides the federal estate, gift, and generation skipping tax, which can be very confiscatory, A number of states have an estate or an inheritance tax or both, and they come in and out of the law as states are broke or need the revenue. So the inheritance tax is actually charged on the person, the beneficiary, and the estate itself may have to pay tax and estate tax as well. And then, of course, there's the federal taxes on top of that. So it's not unusual to see 75%, 80% taxation in some states of whatever you already paid tax on and then died with. So
it sounds like a total ripoff.
It sounds like a confiscatory tax. So I think
you're such a lawyer.
Everyone is pleased. Of course, so everyone is pleased that the numbers went up, and it's going to give a lot of relief to small business. It's not going to help a lot of family farms and ranches because they're often so land rich and cash poor. They're well over these numbers for the most part. But it's going to help an awful lot of small businesses avoid some problems. So the opportunity here is that the exemption, in effect, doubled. So it's now $11.2 million per person,
wow,
or $22.4 million per couple. And what that means is, with that lifetime exclusion amount, up until you reach that amount, you don't have to pay an estate or gift tax, at least to the feds. Now, some of the states are at $1 million, some are at $4 million, some are in sync with the feds. It's all over the board, so you have to be careful. You still could have as high as a 16% tax charged by your state on everything over $1 million. So because you're off the hook federally doesn't necessarily mean you're off the hook in your particular state. And a ton of people out there will have these old estate plans that were tied to much lower exemption. So this is the highest exclusion amount in history by far. The last exclusion was the biggest one in history by far. So many estates, estate plans, wills, and living trusts need to be redone because they have these various exclusion formulas and trusts set up after death that don't exist during life, and the formulas aren't going to work in an awful lot of them. So for those of you who've not updated your estate plans in the last 3 to 4 years, you should absolutely go in and have a conversation and make sure that it still does what you want it to do. So from a planning standpoint, just get things where you want them to go and to make sure that it is state tax efficient for both federal and state purposes, and it's also efficient from an income tax standpoint because both the estate and the trusts and the beneficiaries could end up paying an income tax, and there are income taxes charged in the estate on things like IRAs and pension plans.
Tommy, we only have like 3 minutes left, so I want you if you could give like a real targeted summary, of course, unless you want to do another segment, that's up to you. But to finish this off, maybe you could target it and just give people kind of an overall bow on it.
Yeah, I would say that the big opportunities, other than keeping your estates current, is we've got this new opportunity, and this exemption is here, but it disappears in 2025. If Trump is not reelected, it could disappear 3 years from now. So whether it's here or not is your call, but my suggestion is I would plan sooner rather than later, one, because the exclusion may not be there. You may have a much smaller amount to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, for large estates, you know, this is the best it's ever been. And then secondly, interest rates are going up, and the feds may raise rates 2 or 3 more times this year. And every little uptick in interest rates has a massive impact on many advanced estate planning concepts, like gifts, sales with notes, state freezes, grant to retained annuity trusts, and sales to intentionally defective trusts. All those transactions are interest rate sensitive. So because the interest rates are moving up, the time to move is much sooner rather than later, and all of those vehicles should be a priority for anybody that has a potentially taxable estate. And then for people who are over that, you know, ultra high net worth and family office type clients, I would suggest moving sooner rather than later. They may have 3 years, but as the income tax rates tick up, they're going to cost themselves a lot of money every time the rates move. So for that reason, some urgency is required, but this is really a fair provision, I think. The estates being charged a tax, the top 1% aren't in favor of repealing the estate tax. They feel comfortable paying, giving something back. They've done well enough to be able to do that. So there's really no, there's very little support among the top 1% to repeal the estate tax, but nobody wanted to be paying tax on everything over $1 million. That doesn't seem quite fair. So at this number, I would say people are very satisfied for the most part, And those who aren't satisfied, well, you can give it to charity, or you can use these techniques to try to give it to your family and have a little bit more control over where the money goes. But that's going to require some effort and planning and a lot of math. This is these calculations are somewhat sensitive, but there's some really good opportunities here. So all in all, it's going to be a big year for attorneys and accountants, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for businesses, individuals, and people with taxable estates to do something about it, and at the same time, you know, have a meaningful impact on the people around us, and foundations, and charities, and our workplaces, and taking better care of employees. So, all in all, I think this is a pretty good thing with only a couple of reservations.
Tom, if people want to read up on this, is there like information on your website, or if they want to get a hold of you, can they call your assistant and set up a call or something? How would that work?
Sure. There are a number of things on our website. We've published a number of things on this. We have newsletters. We're happy to send copies out to people if they're not on the website. But our website is handlerthayer.com. Anybody can access it. And our main office in Chicago is 312-641-2100. We're in Scottsdale, Wellington, Florida, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. Most of us are in Chicago.
I can't wait to see you. Next time you come down, you better come visit Vivian and I, or I'm going to have to come to Chicago. And I want to set up a thing where we have like a little round table, bring some of our listeners or some of our folks in to meet you. Maybe that's something we can arrange maybe this spring before it gets too warm up there. You know, you never know, Tom.
It would be great fun as long as it's educational. It works for me.
Okay, well, we'll make sure it's educational without any, you know, anything else. Whatever the way you want to handle it, we'll handle it. That's Tom Handler handling it for us. Did I really just say that?
You did. And Jim, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, see you soon, Tom. And thanks so much for participating. We really appreciate your team helping us coordinate this.
All right. Take care. Have a good night.
You got it. Bye-bye. We'll be back after this. I'm going to talk about how I go out into the field and find new deals. And then we're also going to talk about how Vivian's feeling, what's going on. Stick with us. It's going to be an awesome show. I promise you, you'll learn more about how you can make your day better right after this.
If I suspect a child's being harmed,
I commit.